There is a meeting at SpaceX. An engineer presents a component specification. Musk asks, "Who required this?" The engineer says it came from the aerospace standard. Musk asks, "Which person?" Name, nobody knows. Musk says, "Delete it." That was not an outburst. That was a method. Elon Musk has built more valuable companies than any person alive. He has done it by asking questions that other people stopped asking. This episode is not about who he is or what he believes politically. It is about how he thinks. The method. The principles he has used to build rockets, cars, and satellites faster and cheaper than organizations that had decades of head start. Everything in Musk's approach starts with one idea: first principles thinking. He talks about it often, and it is not complicated. A first principle is the most basic true statement you can make about a problem. Not this is how it is done, but why does it have to be done this way at all? The writer Tim Urban, who spent weeks with Musk in 2015, described two kinds of thinkers: cooks and chefs. A cook follows a recipe. A chef understands why each ingredient is there. Cooks can produce good food. But chefs can invent something new. Musk, Urban argued, is a chef. When he hears rockets cost $500 million to launch, he does not accept that as a fact of life. He asks, what are the raw materials in a rocket? Turns out, roughly 2% of the cost. So he asks, why is there a 98% markup? And then he builds SpaceX to find out. He has also said he cannot use first principles for everything. It is expensive, mentally. You cannot decompose every decision in your life from scratch. He reserves it for the problems that matter most, the ones where the standard answer feels wrong but nobody is questioning it. That selectivity is part of the method. Most of us question almost nothing. He questions the things with the highest stakes. Now to the operational method. Musk developed what he calls the algorithm. He repeated it so often at SpaceX and Tesla that it became part of the culture. It has 5 steps, and the order matters. Step 1. Question every requirement. Every requirement has an owner. Every owner is a person. If you cannot name the person, the requirement does not have enough authority to stay. He famously said, make the requirements less dumb. Smart people, he noted, can construct very smart justifications for dumb requirements. The requirement sounds reasonable, it has history behind it, but nobody has questioned it in 10 years. Step 2. Delete any part or process you can. He set a rule: if you are not adding back at least 10% of the things you deleted, you are not deleting enough. The default instinct is to add more safety margin, more approval steps, more documentation. Musk's default is to delete and see what breaks. Step 3. Simplify and optimize. Only after deletion. This is important. You should not optimize a process that should not exist. Optimizing the wrong thing just makes the wrong thing faster. Step 4. Accelerate the cycle time. Once you have a simplified process, run it faster. Squeeze the iteration loop. At SpaceX, this meant not waiting for perfect before testing. Build it, launch it, see what breaks, fix it, launch again. The Starship program has destroyed many vehicles in testing. That was deliberate. It is cheaper to learn from a real failure than from a simulation. Step 5. Automate. And only then. Many organizations automate first. They lock in the waste, the complexity, the unnecessary steps, all in software. Then they can never remove it because the automation has been built around it. Musk is strict about this. Automation is last. Alongside the algorithm, Musk developed a measurement he called the Idiot Index. It is simple. Take the cost of a finished component, divide it by the cost of the raw materials it is made from. If the ratio is high, someone added a lot of cost in the manufacturing process. That added cost needs to be justified. If it cannot be justified, it is waste. He applied this relentlessly at SpaceX. Rockets were notorious for having extremely high idiot indexes. Military and NASA specifications had been written over decades. Nobody had gone back to check whether they were still necessary. Musk treated specifications not as laws but as recommendations until someone could prove they needed to be laws. A concrete example: an engineer presents a bracket that costs $5,000. The raw aluminium in it costs $30. The idiot index is over 150. Musk asks, why? The engineer explains, it requires a special machining process, a certified supplier, a specific tolerance from an old spec. Musk asks, does it need that tolerance? The engineer is not sure. They test it with a simpler version. It works. The bracket now costs $200. That kind of conversation happened constantly, not as a performance, as a practice. Musk had very specific ideas about how information should move inside an organization. His rule, which he has stated in public emails and internal memos, is this: communication should take the shortest path necessary to solve the problem, not follow the chain of command. If an engineer at SpaceX needed to talk to an engineer at Tesla, they could contact each other directly. They did not need to route the message up through their manager, across to the other company's management chain, and back down. He said explicitly, any manager who tries to enforce chain of command communication as the only way information can flow may find themselves no longer managing anyone. This is unusual. Most large organizations enforce hierarchy and communication precisely to maintain control. Musk's argument is that control achieved through communication friction is not worth the cost in speed. By the time a question has traveled up a chain and back down, the problem it was trying to solve has either gotten worse or been solved by someone ignoring the chain anyway. He was also known to send emails to entire company mailing lists when he felt something was wrong. Not to a manager, not through a senior leader, to everyone. That created a culture where urgency was not filtered by position. On talent, Musk has been consistent about three qualities he looks for: talent, drive, and trustworthiness. He has said he is more interested in a conversation than a resume. A resume tells you what someone has done. A conversation tells you how they think. He has also admitted publicly that he has been fooled by impressive credentials. Someone can have a brilliant history on paper and be unable to reason clearly under pressure. He learned to test thinking in the interview itself. Give the person a real problem. See how they approach it. Do they decompose it? Do they challenge the framing? Or do they reach for the answer they already know? At SpaceX especially, he cultivated what has been described as a hardcore engineering culture. Engineers were prized above all other functions. His argument: if the people who design the product never feel the pain of building it, they will design things that are impossible or absurd to manufacture. Designers have to be close enough to the problem to be humbled by it. He structured every company the same way: engineers leading engineers, with other functions alongside, never above. Musk is known for setting deadlines that his own teams think are impossible. This is deliberate. His argument is roughly this: if you set a comfortable deadline, people fill the available time. Work expands to fill the space. If you set a deadline that seems impossible, people are forced to ask which parts of the work are actually necessary and which are just habit. He has also said that missing a deadline is not the catastrophe people think it is. What matters is whether the tight deadline forced better thinking. Often it does. The Tesla Model 3 production ramp was famously brutal. He called it production hell. But the car got made, at scale, at a price that made electric cars viable for ordinary people. His approach to feedback loops is related. He wants them short. If you test something and wait 6 months for the result, you lose the ability to iterate quickly. If you can test, observe, and adjust in days or weeks, you compound learning much faster. This is why SpaceX builds and launches rockets that fail. Each failure is a data point. Accumulated quickly, those data points are worth more than a longer development cycle that avoids failure by not testing at all. Taken together, what does the Musk method actually add up to? It is, at its core, a sustained attack on the accumulation of unexamined assumptions. Every organization, over time, acquires habits. Those habits become processes. Those processes become requirements. Those requirements become specifications. Nobody goes back to check the original assumption. Musk's method is to go back, relentlessly, to name the person behind every requirement, to delete every process that cannot justify itself, to communicate directly, to hire for thinking rather than credentials, to test in reality rather than simulation, and to move faster than is comfortable, because discomfort forces clarity. The question this method raises is simple. What requirements in your own work have you never questioned because they came with the job? What processes are you running because they were already running when you arrived? What would you delete if you could? Musk's answer is: find out, name the person, test the assumption. Automate last. The physics of problem solving do not change. The accumulation of unexamined habits just makes it harder to see them.